Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Our sermon today is following in, we have scripture. I knew we had scripture. Let's go to scripture first.
We're going to be reading from Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Thanks, Wendy. As Wendy read there, we're going to be talking a little bit about prophets today. The topic that David gave me in our whole The Bible sermon series was the exile. And I will talk a little bit about the exile, but what interested me most in this whole story was the prophets. The prophets that God called during the exile, before the exile, before, during, and some after, to bring God's word to the people. So we'll be talking a little bit about the prophets and their role in this whole world of the Bible. When I preach, oftentimes I use a format. Sometimes it changes, but my favorite format to use is when I ask myself three questions. I read the scripture and I ask three questions. First, what? What's really happening here? What does the Bible say? What historically was happening? What are the facts, as best we can tell, around this story? So the first section of my sermon today will be looking at the what of the story. And then I ask the question, so what? Have you ever asked yourself that question, so what, when you're reading the Bible? You read a passage, you go, so what? So what does it mean for us? So what is the message that God's trying to give us through this passage? So what did it mean for the people who first heard it? And what does it mean for us? And then the third section, after I get my so what down, then the question that we always have to ask ourselves, now what? Now what does God want me to do with this knowledge? I figured out the what, I know what it says, and I think I figured out the so what, I know what it means. Now what does God want me to do with it? Because the reading of scripture should always lead to actions. So that's the format that I want to use today, and you can kind of follow along if you'd like. As I said, I'm going to be talking about prophets. Prophets are messengers of God. That's basically what they are. Messengers of God. As I told the kids, God always communicates with us. God's always speaking. God has never stopped speaking. Some people are better listeners than others. Some people are just more in tune with what God is saying. Some people are just a little more willing than others to do the action that God is requiring of them. And these are the prophets. Now, God can talk to us individually. I believe he always does. But God sends prophets to talk to us collectively, to bring a message to the people, to bring a message to the world, to bring a message to the government, especially to the government, to bring a message to the kings. Prophets are sent on a specific mission. Now, God in the Bible calls up prophets a lot of times in moments of crisis, when there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of trouble going on, there's a lot of chaos, a lot of noise. God will send a prophet to cut through the noise to bring the message. He sent Moses when his people were in captivity in Egypt, God sent Moses. During the exile that we're going to talk about today, God sent Isaiah and Jeremiah to bring a message to the people. Whenever the people are unfaithful to God, in the Old Testament, we read over and over again, the people are unfaithful to God. They go after other gods right and left. They seem like a lot more fun than our God. And God will send a prophet to tell the people, hey, stop it. Come back, worship correctly. You are not doing the right thing. John the Baptist was a prophet sent to prepare the way for Jesus Christ, to tell the people, hey, repent of your sins, get ready, there's someone coming, God's going to do something great. God sends these prophets to wake up the people, to shake them out of their stupor, out of their sleepiness, out of their inattentiveness. Now, you'll hear the phrase major prophets and minor prophets. That's really just the way the books were written in the Bible. The books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel are big books. Those are the major prophets. The other prophets, Haggai, Micah, Zephaniah, all those little guys, those are little bitty books. Those are the minor prophets. The people themselves were equal in importance. We just call them major and minor depending on the length of their books that survived. I mean, Micah may have written huge, long treatises. All we have is a little portion that survived. So we call him a minor prophet. But the message of all the prophets is equally as important. What's the mark of a prophet? What distinguishes a prophet? A prophet has to have a call from God. They have to understand themselves as having a call from God. They have to have a message from God. God has to have said to them, here is the message I need you to take to the king. Here's the message I need you to take to the people. Here's the message I need you to take to our enemy. And more importantly, a prophet is bathed in prayer. Prayer is central to the life of a prophet, both speaking to God and, as I said earlier, listening to God. But does that mean that anybody can come off the street and say, I am a prophet of God, chosen by God, I heard a call, he sent me a message, and I need to get up in front of this church and tell you what God said to me? Well, the Bible says beware. Beware of people claiming to be prophets. They need to be tested. First, does the message that this prophet is bringing line up with everything we know about the known word of God? About what we know in the Bible, what grace tells us. You know, if this person is saying something crazy off the charts we've never heard before, yeah, maybe we need to slow down a little bit and take them with a grain of salt. Number two, over time, the words of a prophet will be reliable. Over time, the words of a prophet will be consistent. They don't change their story. They don't wave in the wind. They don't change their tune. Over time, they're going to be saying the same thing. And over time, you know what? Their word's going to be a lot. It's going to make sense. It's going to be, yeah, that's right. That's the way things are happening. Now, a lot of times we get mixed up between fortune-telling and prophesying. Prophets and fortune-tellers. A prophet is not a fortune-teller. The Bible tells us to beware of fortune tellers. Nobody knows the future except God. Now, a prophet has the ability to envision God's intended future for us. A prophet can look at the way things are and say, that's not the way God wants it. God envisions this. A prophet paints a picture for us of what God envisions for our lives as a community, as a nation, even as individuals. And so there are ways that we can test prophets. We are told in the Bible not to be led astray by false prophets. Not everyone claiming to come in the name of Jesus Christ really does. As a Christian, that's hard to buy sometimes. Not everybody claiming to come in the name of Jesus Christ really does. The message of the prophets in the Bible was pretty consistent. over time individually, and over time among themselves. I mean, these prophets, there are prophets throughout the whole Bible, but especially during the exile period, they were operating for about 200 years, give or take, in different places, different parts of the nation, to different people, but their messages were very consistent with one another. One, God is in control. God's in control. We, individuals and communities, we need to get right with God. We need to line up. We need to use the plumb line of God and line ourselves up with God's plumb line. There is no real religion without right action. That is a consistent message of the prophets. It doesn't matter what you say, it's what you do. And your words and your deeds have to line up with each other. If you say you love your neighbor, then you need to show that you love your neighbor. If you say that you value God and put God above all things, then you need to show that with your actions. Real religion is not about words. Real religion is about actions and relationships. The prophets were very, very consistent about that. Walk the walk, don't just talk the talk. The fourth message of the prophets is that God judges our behavior, good or bad. God watches us, and God does judge our behavior. And while sometimes we feel as though God may be punishing us, usually it's the consequences of our own bad behavior that we're experiencing. But the prophets were clear that there's always hope. There's always hope for reform. There is no situation so bad that you can get yourself in that you can't get out. There is no point at which you can sink so low that God can't raise you back up. There is no way that you can turn from God and go so far away that he can't bring you back. God judges us. We suffer the punishments of our own actions, but God, more than anything, redeems us from those punishments. And then the last message of the prophets, God has a bright future in store for his people. God's vision for our future is good. God's vision for our future is always good. We may do things to mess it up. We may step out in the wrong direction. We may turn 180 degrees and go in the opposite way. But God's vision for our future as an individual and as a community, as a nation, as a species is good. God's vision is always good. And the prophets were there to tell us about that. Jeremiah was a specific prophet. Wendy read a little bit about Jeremiah's call. Jeremiah began his ministry when he was very young. As he said, I am only a boy, but God called him. God called him and God put the words in his mouth. God said, I want you to go talk to the people. Go tell the people that they are headed in the wrong direction. They have quit worshiping me correctly. They are worshiping other gods and they are falling away. They may say that they worship me, but they're not. They're following after something else. So he sent Jeremiah with this message. And what God also said is, because of the way you people are acting, you're going to get invaded. You're going to get taken over. There were three nations that surrounded the kingdom of Judah at the time. Israel had already been conquered. Israel was gone. But the kingdom of Judah remained, and that's where Jerusalem was. And there were three kingdoms, Assyria in the north, Babylon from the east, and Egypt from the south. All three nations wanted to control Jerusalem because Jerusalem was a major trade route. Whoever controlled Judah and Jerusalem really controlled the Middle East, and Assyria had already taken over Israel. So there were threats from three sides. On the other side is the ocean, so not much of a threat from there. But God saw that the people were weak. Because they had ceased to worship him correctly, because they had fallen apart and were fighting among themselves, because they lacked coherency, they also chose really weak and lousy kings. Oh man, the kings were really bad. Jeremiah said, look, it's going to come. You are going to be conquered. People didn't want to hear that. I mean, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody really wants to hear the hard truth. And so Jeremiah was reviled. That's a common thing around among the prophets. They are reviled, beaten, imprisoned, ostracized. It's not fun to be a prophet because people don't want to hear what God has to say a lot of the time, especially when it's a word of judgment. But that's what Jeremiah's job was. So it came true. Eventually, the kingdom of Judah was conquered by Babylon. And the kings of Babylonia decided they wanted the city of Jerusalem. They just really didn't have any use for the people. So they took all of the people from the city of Jerusalem and the surrounding areas and took them into exile in Babylon. They transported them, well, made them walk. There was no transportation. They walked from Jerusalem to Babylon is in modern-day Iraq. So over the desert, over the mountains, this is not an easy walk. All the people, men, women, children, elderly, babies, everybody out. So they sent the people of Judah into exile, and there they remained for about 70 years, three generations. That's what we call the exile. When you hear about the exile, it's the exile in Babylon, that the people were sent away. A few people remained. Jeremiah remained in Jerusalem. The people didn't want him going with them. It's like, you brought this upon us. You stay there. So a few people remained, but by and large, all of the Hebrews, all of the worshipers of God were in Babylon. After about 70 years, a new king came into power. Actually, Persia conquered Babylon, and the king of Persia said, I don't have any use for these people. Let them go back to Jerusalem. Many of them did go back to Jerusalem after the exile, but they also went all over the Mideast, which we call the diaspora. That's why there are groups of Jews in Egypt. There are groups of Jews in Iraq. There are groups of Jews all over the Middle East who have been there for centuries because they settled there after the exile in the diaspora. So that's where Jeremiah came from, and that's what Jeremiah's word was. Eventually, Jeremiah fled to Egypt, and he died in Egypt. He was not very well liked by the people because what he said came true, and nobody likes, you know, we hear the phrase, shoot the messenger. That's what happened to Jeremiah. But I liked God's message to Jeremiah. God told him at the very beginning, when we first got this call from God, God said very plainly to him, they will attack you, but they will not defeat you, because I am with you and will rescue you, says the Lord. God never abandons his prophets. What I think is most important about the prophets and their message to us, their message to the world, is that in the end, God prevails. In the end, it's going to be okay. In the end, everything will be well. Even after the exile, you know, God stayed with the people while they were in exile. God protected them while they were in exile. God protected them in the diaspora. God brought them back to Jerusalem. In the end, it's going to be okay. I like the line from the movie, The Most Exotic Marigold Hotel. Did anybody see that movie? It was very cute. I love that movie. And the young owner of the hotel says to his guests, because they're complaining about everything, and he says, everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, then it's not yet the end. That's the way it is with God. If it's not all right now, then it's not yet the end of the story. So that's our what. I will move very quickly into the so what. The question I get most often about people when we talk about prophets is, so what does that mean for us? The prophets were 2,000 years ago. Doesn't matter. Well, I believe God is still speaking. And God still calls people to be prophets and to speak prophetically. There may be a difference between a prophet and someone who speaks prophetically. I believe a prophet is someone who's really called to a specific calling, understands himself or herself to be called to that calling, and it becomes their vocation, really, to be a prophet to the people. But anyone can be called to speak prophetically. Anyone can be sent a message from God whenever there are wrongs to be righted, whenever there are things that just don't seem fair in this world, when there are people hurting, where there are people in trouble, where there is injustice and a need for social change. I believe that God calls people to speak prophetically. Now, it's one of the offices of clergy. We are called to be priests, which order the worship correctly. We are called to be pastors. We take care of our flock. But we are called to be prophets as well, to speak the hard word to a congregation when times call for it. But I don't think you have to be a pastor or a clergy to speak prophetically. And I think God raises up prophets in our midst all the time. Think about it. I mean, who is speaking for God in the world when there's injustice, when there's oppression? Most of us, first person who leaps to mind, who's no longer with us, what do you think? Wow. Who would you consider a prophet in our world? Billy Graham. A prophet. Anyone else? I think of Martin Luther King Jr. He was a prophet to the world. He saw injustice and he spoke out. What about Desmond Tutu in South Africa? Nelson Mandela. They spoke out against injustice where they saw it. They were imprisoned. I met Desmond Tutu when I was in junior high. I was just about your age. And he had been a friend of my pastor. They had been in seminary together a long time ago. And he came to the United States, and he was going to speak at a conference. And he came to our church as a courtesy to our pastor. Even though he's Anglican, he came to the Methodist church. And I heard him speak, and that was the first time I ever heard about apartheid. That was the first time I ever heard that there were still places in the world where black people had absolutely no rights, where even though they were the majority in the country, they had no ability to vote, to live where they wanted to live, to control their own lives. Those are people who speak for God. Now, some of them are pastors, but they don't have to be. I also realized that I'm not even sure that prophets have to be Christian. Now, that may be hard for you to swallow, but I'm not sure that God just calls Christians to speak for him. Does anyone know about Aung San Suu Kyi? She is an opposition leader in the country of Burma. She'd been imprisoned for many, many years, held under house arrest because the government was afraid of her, because she was speaking out and telling the world that what the government was doing to its own people was wrong. She's recently been released from prison, and changes are taking place in Burma. It's amazing. Myanmar is what the government wants to be called. She's a Buddhist. She's not a Christian. She doesn't worship God the way we do. But she spoke out in the face of injustice. She was imprisoned for it. She could see a vision of the way God wants the world ordered, and she spoke out about it. So the now what? So now what? This is your homework. The now what is personal. The now what is just for you. Now that you are thinking about prophets, now that you get your head around them, maybe you want to go back and read a little bit more about the biblical prophets, but where do you see God speaking in the world? Discuss with somebody this week. Sit down with your spouse, with your kids, if your kids are listening to this sermon. Where do you see God speaking? What areas of the world, what areas of our system need to be fixed? What areas do you think God is speaking to? And what is God calling you to speak to? God calls each of us, I think, to speak prophetically at points in our lives. So how, where, to whom is God calling you to speak prophetically? I'm going to go back to the scripture now to close. This is Jeremiah's, Jeremiah was a young man. He said he was a boy, but he was probably a teenager, young man, when God came to him, and he's protesting, I can't do this. I'm only a kid. Don't tell me to be a prophet. Don't tell me to go speak to those scary people over there because they're not going to be very nice to me. And God said to him, do not say, I am only a blank. Fill in your blank. Jeremiah said, I'm only a boy. What's your blank? Do not say, I am only a woman. I am only an accountant who lives in McKinney, Texas. I am only a school teacher. I am only a nurse's, a physician's assistant. I am only blank. For you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.